There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The Bookshelf. What you should be reading.
So this week on The Bookshelf, we are looking at the comics and pop culture authors that will be flooding into the Literature Festival from the 1st to the 10th of March, asking questions like how much does the world they defend define a hero, and how does the horror genre function in a novel versus a graphic novel? And when answering these questions, we're looking at authors attending the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, obviously, which, as I've said, is happening from the 1st to the 10th of March. Where is it happening, Yvette?
It's still happening at the Intercontinental Festival of City. Annabelle, are you trying to catch me out? Because you've asked me that question at least 6 times in the past 2.5 hours. It's still there. It's still going to be at the Intercon at Festival City, and you can still get your tickets at emiratslitfest.com, or you can pop into Magruder's on the Beach Road, in fact, or any other Magruder's, and you can come to our office where we will be stunned and amazed to see you.
Speaking of trying to catch people out and quizzing people, please remind us of that quiz question about Peter James we had earlier.
Okay, so the question was, in which English county is, are the Peter James Roy Grace novel set?
So there you go.
I'm still worrying about where the festival was in case I got it wrong, because I just kept thinking,
don't
asking me so many times.
You've done so much this week, I wouldn't be surprised if you actually messed
it up. Yeah,
you
could have been in Fajera or Aline or anywhere, actually, but no, it's at the Intercon Festival City. And 4001, in which English county will you find Roy Grace carrying out his detective responsibilities?
And you win bragging rights at the
Absolutely.
End of the show. Before we go any further, let's bring our guests into the conversation. Welcome to Arafat Ali Khan, co-founder of the Middle East Film and Comic-Con.
Hello.
And also to Manjalal, writer and journalist covering arts, culture and entertainment. He's got a fantastic blog called Man of the Hour and a YouTube channel of the same name, I believe.
Yep. Hey, guys. How's it going?
So you must be pretty busy, Arafat.
Yes.
You've got a little event around the corner, haven't you?
Around this time, you start losing a little bit of sleep and a lot of your mind.
Yeah, that, which is why I'm incapable of getting my words out today. So I'm with you there.
So we're really pleased that you are joining us on the show. It means a lot because we know how busy you are. To kick off the discussion, here's some background on the authors of Lock and Key, who are going to be talking about first.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
New York Times bestselling author Joe Hill has penned a number of fiction favourites. One of them, Heart-Shaped Box and Horns, became a celebrated cult film starring Daniel Radcliffe, while NOS 4A2 is currently being developed for television by AMC. His talent extends to comic book writing. His work, Lock and Key, has sold over 1 million copies worldwide and is now being developed as a TV series for Hulu. Over the years, he was able to carve out a place in the literary world whilst hiding the fact that his father is the master of horror and suspense fiction, Stephen King. In an intimate interview with The Telegraph last year, he said he wanted people to buy his books for the right reason, because they're good and not because of who his dad is. Today, we discuss his latest masterpiece, Strange Weather, a collection of 4 short novels of strange suspense.
Gabriel Rodriguez is a Chilean comic book artist and illustrator. He co-created with fellow Emirates Airline Festival of Literature attendee Joe Hill the acclaimed award-winning series Lock and Key, currently in development as a television series. They partnered again in 2016 for the comic adaptation of Tales from the Dark Side, as well as a new Lock and Key short story, Small World. Rodriguez's current project is Sword of Ages, which he is creating, writing, and drawing.
So if you didn't know who Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez were before you tuned in, you do now. Now, you're already familiar with them, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I started reading, I think, back when it came out with Welcome to Lovecraft, the first volume. And I have to say, it blew my mind. I'm ashamed to say I didn't know who Joe Hill was when I started reading. And then when I found out, and I was like, oh, gosh, this makes so much sense. You know, he's fantastic. Yeah, and the artwork was something that was really interesting, because I didn't think that kind of art worked for a horror comic book. But Gabriel's work was so aesthetically creepy, yet kind of cartoonish in ways, that I think it hit home even more.
Man, for anybody listening who isn't familiar with what Lock and Key is actually about and the basic plot, story, and characters, would you mind filling us in a little bit?
Sure. So basically, it's about this family of five parents and three kids. Kids are in high school, where this horrific, terrible crime happens, where the father loses his life. And the kids and the mother are uprooted from their home, and they move to their father's hometown and his family estate or his family home. And as they're trying to get over the grief and really process what happened, you know, this terrible crime that happened to their father without giving away too many plot pieces, they discover all these keys in this family estate, and each key has a specific function. So a key can, if you use one key for a door, you end up in another part of town, or you change your gender, or you change how you look, or you end up being a ghost. And so the children, all the three kids, all end up finding these keys in different times without really telling each other, and sort of mischief ensues, and there's this mystery surrounding the house and what these keys are, and there's a sort of ghost or spirit character that's kind of haunting everyone. So there's a lot of stuff happening at the same time, which is, I think, really great for a graphic novel.
Yeah, I like the fact that we're talking about Lock and Key, because I remember a couple of weeks ago we touched on it briefly on the radio, and I ended up reading it because we were covering it on the radio, and it's now been the graphic novel, the comic that's got me into reading others. And I meet a lot of people. I mean, I went to a comic shop the other day and I was chatting to somebody about it, and they said, that's what everybody tells me. It's gotten so many people into mm-hmm. reading graphic novels and comics, which I think is wonderful. Is that something that you tend to read, or is this new for you?
It's very new for me. So I have used graphic novels as a way to get older boys in particular into reading. That's my background with them, if you like, particularly, you know, sixth formers. And I think what I do want to say is that graphic novels are not a storybook comic for 7 or 8 year olds. That's not what we're talking about, and the themes that they treat in this case in particular are very dark, so they are not a young child's book by any means. They are an adult, a form of literature for adults. It's not something that would necessarily be on my reading list. I absolutely adore the illustrations in the Lock and Key series, and I had it this morning. I was very early this morning reading it. So the images for me stay on. I mean, you know, I love picture books. You know, I can absolutely see the power of the image in a book, whether it's meant for a 3-year-old or whether it's meant for an adult. And I think the illustrations in these are stunning, and also they stay with you. They're, you know, once you've seen some of those images, you actually can't get them out of your mind. And then complemented by the brilliant words and story, it's a fabulous combination. This is not a genre that I would have on my bedside table. I would encourage anybody who wants to do something a little bit different at the festival, live on the edge, yeah. Which is what we always say, go and do something you wouldn't normally do. Yes, I'm going to see all my favourite authors. I'm going to go and see Alexander McCall Smith. I'm going to go and see Peter James. But I am really looking forward to meeting these guys, because I think that, for me, that's my session that, yeah, okay, this is outside my comfort zone. Let's do it. Let's live dangerously.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking about the Lock and Key session that's happening at the Literature Festival, the first weekend of the festival, actually, which is happening from the 1st to the 10th of March, and we're talking about Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, who are the author and illustrator of Lock and Key, and the session is in partnership with Comic-Con.
Middle East Film and Comic-Con, yeah. Woo. I just wanted to, you know, go back to what you were saying earlier, Ben. The wonderful thing about graphic novels and the medium is that it truly is, I feel, another form of literature. So it's really wonderful that the Emirates Literature Festival is, you know, embracing that as well, because there's so many stories, and, you know, you've got so many books that have won Eisner Awards and other literary awards over the years as well. You know, you have things like Mouse, which I'm sure you've heard of, which is, you know, it's a story about the Holocaust, but told through cats and mm-hmm. mice, you know, and it's extremely hard hitting, but, you know, it brings in this sort of almost cartoonish element. But, and there's stories about, you know, the region, there's stories about Palestine, about Jordan, that will warm your heart, that will make you think. And, you know, I really encourage people to pick up or, you know, ask a question, well, what should I start with, Annabelle? What you were saying, you know, that's, it's gotten in, you into other books. There's, I really believe there's something for everyone when it comes to graphic novels and comic books.
Mm. Often people say it's about finding the right one.
Yeah.
And it's often a matter of timing. So for a lot of people who got into comics, it was when they were growing up. So you mentioned Yvette, you know, sixth form boys, mm-hmm. or boys you're trying to get into reading in the library. And I never had that when I was a teenager. It was not something that I was exposed to. So I've come to it quite late. And I think if you miss the boat with some of these things, it takes a while for you to get back in.
Also, I think it's very much a country-based thing, if you like. So France, for example, mm-hmm. my goodness, there are entire shops devoted to graphic novels. It's an art form. Yeah. It's a culturally accepted great form of literature that the UK, unless it's changed dramatically, is not like that. Maybe it's changing, but certainly they were looked down on.
That's true. And I mean, if you look at Japan and you look at manga,
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's an accepted and normal form of literature. Yeah. You'll have businessmen in suits on the tube reading the latest manga novels.
Yeah, you do that on the tube in London, people will be like, you get a space.
Yeah.
You get a space, that's all I'll say.
The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
And on talking of books, we have moved into a genre where I'm slightly outside my comfort zone, but I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm bluffing my way through it. Nobody in the studio has noticed.
Until you actually just said it. Right
oh,
now.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so we are having a little bit of a focus on graphic novels, comic books, whatever you want to call them. And we've just been talking about the Lock and Key series, the author and illustrator of which will be at Emirates Airline Festival of Literature in March. And it's been my introduction to the new world of graphic novels, comic books. What do I call them? Come on, what's correct?
You're fine with both. Yeah. Because comic books are the single issues, graphic novels are standalone, and then you have trade paperbacks that are collected issues.
Oh, we shouldn't ask.
There's a whole world out there.
I know.
I was going to say as well that for anyone who hasn't entered the comic book world or the graphic novel world, is that they'll be surprised how familiar it feels, because comic books and graphic novels have been around for decades. If you think about, you know, Archie and Jughead, if you think about Superman, Spider-Man, if you think about even the Mickey Mouse, the Disney comics, they've been around for ages. Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised to see how comic books and graphic novels lend themselves to film, and how film and TV shows have been heavily influenced by how comic books and how the pages are laid out from frame to frame. Sometimes you'll be looking at a comic and you'll be seeing a movie right there.
So it's a storyboard for
a movie,
basically.
It's a storyboard, exactly. So people will be surprised how much, not only how comic books and graphic novels feel, but the stories are familiar. They're the same stories you read in novels about heroes and about families and about, you know, trying to change the world and people in strange predicaments. So they're not that unfamiliar. It's just a visual element that sometimes surprises people.
Mm. I think it's interesting that you said that this is not the genre that you would usually pick up, Yvette, because you've read quite gory crime fiction.
Moi?
Moi? Yes.
Ah, but you know what? Because I got those pictures in my head. Here, I've actually got the pictures spelled out for me. And that goes back to what we're saying about films, that actually with a film, you've either got to walk away, take my glasses off, go and make a cup of tea, whatever, to miss the gory bits. When I'm reading those crime novels, I can skip them here. It's quite hard to skip them because you're really going to miss a lot of the action. So, yes, it's very different. And that's what I said about them staying in my head. I've got pictures from that book now. When I can't sleep, I will be suing you, Annabelle.
Well, if you like detective and crime thrillers, there's definitely some stuff I can suggest to you.
That'd
some
be good.
Wonderful books.
Excellent, thank you. But I did enjoy The Lock and Key, I have to say, because it's got that slightly spooky element too.
It's quite gothic.
It's quite gothic.
And what's interesting about Lock and Key, actually, is that there isn't one hero, which I think with a lot of graphic novels, or even actually novels that we read, we tend to be focused on one hero or one protagonist and one antagonist. But here, it's a whole family, and they're of different ages and different genders. There's an older boy, a middle girl, and then a young kid. And we see how all of them take on the mask of being a hero, but also being tempted by ultimate power and perhaps being villainous. So that's really interesting.
What I actually really loved is the world that they created with Lock and Key, because it kind of throws you in. And then as it goes through the volumes over the years, you see the history of that house and why, how the keys came to be and everything. And it just fills in those gaps. And I absolutely love that they fleshed that out. It's one of my favorite things, and something that really always pulls me in is when the world is almost believable, even when there's fiction and there's it's horror or sci-fi. People create worlds that feel like, Man, that you'd said earlier, they feel, like you've known them for ages. And I love that world in Lock and Key.
And the characters still have the traits that we can recognize as humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think, yeah, I can see. Yes.
And I think now, especially given, what's happening in movies right now, so many comic books and superheroes are coming to the big screen and even the small screen. So this is sort of reinvigorating, I think, the comic and graphic world. And people who were never introduced to comics at school or not even introduced into reading, they'll be watching these movies or watching these TV shows, and they'll be like, hang on, these are actually books or these are actually comics. So you're going back, you're sort of doing a reverse as opposed to
absolutely
reading a book then watching a movie. You're watching the movie or TV show and then going back to reading the book, which I think is really an interesting time for comics.
Yeah,
it is. It's wonderful. It's a golden age.
Yeah,
it's good. And as a child, so I grew up reading things like, in the UK, Dandy, Beano, Bunty, all those things, which were comic book strips. But there was still, as I said, a certain snobbishness that actually, they're not real literature. Well, even Superman and so on, which I was aware of, they were not something that was ever promoted as, you should read these. They were a sort of sneaky hide inside something else to read. So I go back to come and see these people, come and hear them. Look at the books, look what they've written, look at the themes that they are dealing with. And as you said, there's so many that are set in this part of the world. And we've had some of those writers before too. And I really, really want this session to work. I want us to reach out to people who maybe wouldn't normally come to the festival. I think working with Comic-Con is just such a great way. And hopefully you'll be bringing all your Comic-Con fans here to the festival.
I think so. I think it's the perfect collaboration, honestly, because We need to mix that pool.
Absolutely. And we struggle to do that.
Yeah.
In all honesty, we want to attract that audience because there's so much for them.
And
we
vice
want
versa.
Them there.
Yeah.
And I think you used the perfect word there, collaboration, because I think with graphic novels and comic books, people forget that it's actually a collaboration between the writer and the person who's drawing, the illustrator or the animator. And I think that's the most exciting part I'm looking forward to when I speak to Joe Hill
Gabriel,
yes, I was going to say George.
Trying to get the name right.
Yes, that's important.
Oh,
is hearing how they collaborate on storytelling, you know what I mean? Because the visual part is just as important as the plot and the character. And so how does that work? How do they create the story together without, ripping each other's heads off possibly because some people can't collaborate?
It's true. Yeah. Actually, you must have to work very closely.
Yeah.
It is. It is a very symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And there are artists, you'll see very much in the comic book world, artists and authors that almost stick together through projects because they've just gotten along so well. That's what we're hoping to find more of at Middle East Film and Comic Con, because we want to foster writers and comic book artists because there's so much wonderful talent in this part of the world.
So definitely, on this collaboration, are we going to find Emirates Lit Fest popping up at Comic Con?
Well,
put you on the spot on air.
but we are. That's what the collaboration's all about.
Fantastic.
We want to, we want to have, us supporting you and then vice versa at
Comic-Con.
So when is
Comic-Con? Tell us
Yeah, so it's from not far from Emirates Lit Fest. It's April 5th to the 7th at the Dubai World Trade Center. And people can find out more at www.mefcc.com.
Do you dress up?
I don't personally, but I would say that 60 to 70% of the people there are dressing up or, revealing their true selves, perhaps.
Is there a bird
fears
with a sharp beak costume?
I shall go as peacock woman.
You know,
peacock girl.
I will say something. As somebody who has covered the Literature Festival and Comic-Con for work and who is a fan of both, I have to say that going to each of these events separately, the energy from the people that are there is almost identical because people are so excited to go see their favorite authors and they're also so excited to go meet all their, the big superhero fans, the comic book writers and the illustrators, and dressing up. So to me, it's those two events have always been synonymous with absolute excitement and fun from the people that are going. So definitely makes sense.
That's amazing to hear, Mom. Yeah. Really. Yeah. I'm even more excited now about our collaboration.
Mm. Yeah, so am I.
You're welcome.
Really good.
You mentioned about the relationship between author and illustrator, and I'm wondering how much each influenced the other. So I can see that if Gabe did a particularly amazing job with the illustration, but it wasn't maybe quite what Joe had in mind when he was writing the story, the illustration might have actually changed the way he thought about the characters that he was writing. Yeah. So it is a really interesting collaboration and conversation. Mm-hmm. And as an audience member, I think that's one of the things I've enjoyed the most, even if I haven't read the books. And that's an important point I want to make, is even if you haven't read all of the author's books before you go to the festival, that doesn't matter. It's, you don't have to have read every author's book to go. It's actually more the other way around. So often you'll go and see a talk by an author and you'll think, okay, now I want to read their books. That's kind of the way it's meant to work, more than the other way around. I think people get put off sometimes.
Yeah. And you see, that would never occur to me that actually I shouldn't go to that session because I haven't read the book. Yeah. I would turn that on its head and said, I haven't read that book. I have no clue what that is. This is. It sounds good. Let me go and find out. So I'm slightly adventurous, slightly outside my comfort zone. But yeah, I mean, this is one for me that I think is a definite. And am I right, Annabelle, that we'd invited Joe Hill to the festival and he'd accepted the invitation? And then I think was it Joe himself who suggested that we invite Gabriella, or am I making up a cracking good story for myself? I like that story anyway. Yeah.
I'm going to go with it.
Yeah,
it's going to say that's what happened.
Said it on the radio.
But that's perfect, because, you know, again, going back to what Man said earlier, and Annabelle, what you touched on, is that they've both created this world, this story world, and it'll be wonderful to get both sides of that story.
Of the creation process as well. And I think for people who maybe are interested in Joe Hill, but maybe haven't read the comics, but haven't read his books yet, I suggest that you maybe give that a try as well, because it's interesting to see how he works in a comic book form or graphic novel form, and then working on a novel like Horns, which was also turned into a movie with
Daniel Radcliffe.
So it's interesting to see that, he's quite talented to be able to write a successful novel and use words that way, and then just focus on the dialogue in a comic. So I think that's also another facet of Joe Hill particularly that is interesting to investigate.
And another session on that note that I think is really interesting, and I was going to bring up earlier, was the fact that he's having a discussion with Ursa Sigurdardottir. Oh, I managed to get it right.
Well done, Annabelle. Oh, gold star.
Icelandic crime author who's quite known for her sort of gory details of murders and such in her books. And she's going to be talking about horror in fiction alongside Joe Hill, who's written books like Nosferatu, which are actually really terrifying. I started that book and I actually had to put it down because it was so scary. So I'm interested to see how he's going to talk about horror fiction, because he's got the background of using words and images with Lock and Key as well. And like you're saying, when you've got the image in front of you, it's very difficult to ignore it.
It is. I found that. Yes.
But do you know, actually, sorry to interrupt you. What's really interesting is I actually find it scarier to read. Was that what you're going to say, Annabelle?
Yeah.
I find it scarier to read a horror novel, because your mind can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But then when you're looking at a graphic novel, it's there and you're like, okay, well, this is it.
It grounds you a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah.
Maybe it's a generational thing, because maybe we're used to watching more horrific or horror movies growing up, so we're used to maybe more gory images, maybe. I don't know.
I have never actually watched a horror film because
really?
The trailers terrify me. And I get really annoyed when you go into a film that's R-rated because it's a comedy, and that's the only time they can show the horror trailers.
Oh, right.
And it's very difficult to escape when everything's in like surround sound. Yeah. So
I grew up watching Aliens.
Exactly.
So they're that gory images, I'm kind of just used to it.
RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that horror? What?
It wasn't, but it was for
it's
kids at the time. It was It was quite gory. You know, and I don't think that would be allowed for kids these days.
Even Terminator or Last Action Hero, these kind of films.
They were quite graphic.
I think that's an important point.
We turned out all right, though.
Huh? Yeah, we turned out okay. Yeah.
They say that.
I am doubtful. But it's an interesting point that, you know, whether your imagination is more powerful than images that are put in front of you. And it all goes back, whenever we talk about this, I always reference the shark in Jaws. That film is brilliant until you see the shark. And then it's not scary anymore, is it?
Yeah.
But Lock and Key still is quite scary. But I think the reason I can actually read it is because there are images there. So I think I feel a bit differently about it to you.
Yeah.
The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
So we are talking about comics and pop culture and those sorts of sessions that are happening at the Literature Festival this year, which is happening from when, Yvette?
It's happening from the Intercontinental Hotel at Festival City between the 1st and the 10th of March.
I keep waiting for you to say, it's happening in December on the beach. I don't know anything anymore.
What I will say is that the years are getting shorter, and I know that's a sign of getting old, but it seems like about 3 months ago that we were having our volunteer meetings, and I was telling them what a wonderful decision they'd made to volunteer for the festival. And that seems to be happening again next week.
It does feel like it was maybe only a couple of weeks ago.
I haven't recovered from it yet, which is a bit scary because the next one, I think, is on the 1st of March. It starts. The authors arrive from around the 28th, I think, of February.
Yeah,
which is quite soon.
It's very soon, yeah.
Allegedly.
You just heard some more dulcet tones in the studio there. That was Mandalal, who is a writer and journalist on culture and entertainment sort of subjects. And he's also moderating at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature as well.
He's got some good sessions.
Moderating at Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez.
So jealous.
Well, you'll be there. So there's all good information for me to prepare myself for when I chat to them. So I'll be moderating them. That's going to be really exciting. So you guys need to head over there. I have some really cool questions and points I'm going to bring up. I'm really going to utilize my time with them, as well as, you know, make sure the audience have a say and have their questions. So if you're listening to this and planning to come, do your research, read the books, and get some questions ready as well.
In fact, you can text them in now.
Yes, please do.
4001. What would you like to ask?
Arafat, you are here because you are the co-founder of the Middle East Film and Comic Con, and I think that maybe you're taking a break from the crazy schedule that you must have right now.
You know what? I love this. It honestly, this is being on air, doing interviews. It's one of my favorite parts of this craziness. One, because it's kind of like a break, but it's just what I'm passionate about. And I love talking about
it. It's invigorating,
to be honest.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Then you open the email inbox and it all goes, briefly.
You know, people have said at the show when I'm doing interviews, you know, I'll look like a zombie and then I'll all perk up. And be like, oh, that was such a good interview. Thanks so much. And then I'll be like, yeah, you're welcome. Can I go and hide in a corner now, please?
That's because you've got superpowers, obviously.
Yes.
You've acquired them from all the hanging out with superheroes.
Sounds like, actually. But no, it's wonderful because, you know, we get a chance to talk to creators in terms of authors and artists, but also celebrities, you know, from various movies.
It's very interesting. I'm quite jealous.
It's crazy because you have to work with their schedules and everything. Mm. And very often, you know, you'll announce someone, but their schedules can change. You know, there's months worth.
We know that.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, you know, you'll announce it and everyone will be like, yes, they're coming. And then you're like, oh, gosh, sorry. But, you know, so it's up and down.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, it's I've had a chance to meet and talk to some of my heroes over the years, you know.
I'm subverting the conversation.
I have to say one of them was Gillian Anderson.
Oh, wow.
And I was so wanting to be professional with her and not fanboy out.
See,
that I literally
bet you did, though.
Literally, I said, I think I had two short conversations with her, but I made her laugh, like heartily laugh in one of them. And so I was fine with that.
When you look back on your life,
your triumph.
Yes, it was. My life was good from then on.
I just want to say as well that working as a journalist for both of these great events, I've always heard people, audiences, and say like, oh, you know, how come this author hasn't showed up, or how come this and that? Mm-hmm. But people don't really have an awareness. It's really great you guys are talking about how it's quite difficult sometimes to manage, writers and celebrity schedules, because people don't really have an awareness of what's happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And for the fact that they have to realize as well that, you know, all of you guys are doing this out of passion, you know, it's not really for any other reason. So I think it's really important to talk about what's happening behind the scenes.
My favorite question every year is, why is J.K. Rowling not coming?
True.
We get that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even worse, have you invited her?
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe. I've not really heard about
her. I haven't even thought about inviting J.K. Rowling.
Ours is Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, really?
Or Stanley.
Or Stanley. Yeah. A little bit busy, a little bit expensive.
Yeah. All those things, you know.
Okay, so we have been talking about Lock and Key by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. And that is not the only thing that's happening at the festival. Now, as you know, a very exciting film is coming out either next week, I think, on Thursday evening, I think it premieres. It's called Black Panther. And one of the authors who's attending the festival has been involved with collaborating on some of the comics for Marvel. It is Marvel, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, God, I thought I'd made a really rookie error there. And her name is Nnedi Okorafor. And if you haven't heard of her before, here's some information about her. Well, I'm going to actually talk about her instead.
Oh, so go on.
So you can
so
have
love the sound
just
of your own
the
voice.
Limelight, yeah.
Yeah, I just go on
all
and on.
All the time.
Just a peek off on the radio. So she's writing something called Antar the Black Knight, which is a new comic series about pre-Islamic African Arab legend Antar bin Shaddad, which is very exciting. And she also recently brought Black Panther and Venom to Lagos for Marvel Comics in Nigeria, which is very exciting. And I actually have the comic here in front of me. It's called Edge of Venomverse, and she's one of the contributors to the stories. And what's really interesting, if you can get your hands on it, she's written a story called Blessing in Disguise. Mm. And if you know a little bit about Nnedi, it's really interesting because it starts with a young track and field star in Nigeria who's bound to a wheelchair. And if you read up about Nnedi, she actually had an accident when she was younger, and she used to be in track and field, and it looks like she's actually put herself in the comic, which is quite lovely actually if you know the backstory. So I recommend that.
I think she does that a lot with her writing. Going back to when we talked about a little while ago, Zora the Windseeker, again that has her in it, about the isolation, about being different. So
she's so versatile as well. I mean, the one thing that everybody's talking about at the moment is obviously Who Fears Death, because that's one of her earlier novels, and it's been picked up by HBO and being developed with George R.R. Martin as the next big thing after Game of Thrones. So obviously everybody's really excited about that. But like you say, she always deals with themes of being not fitting in, feeling left out, and she does that very well and combines it with science fiction and fantasy. And I've found that, you know, Isabel, for example, she's not the biggest fan of science fiction and fantasy, but she likes Nnedi's work. And we were talking about how to introduce people to genres that they're not particularly fans of yet, and finding the right book to get people into that world, kind of like an entrance or a portal to it. Mm. And Nnedi is a great example of somebody who's perfect at getting people interested in science fiction and fantasy, because I think people have a vision of that genre and they don't necessarily think it's for them, but it's just a case of finding the right book and the right
getting
author.
Back into it. I mean, I used to read a huge amount of science fiction and fantasy as a teenager. There was a writer called Andre Norton who was writing at that time, writing for young people and adults, and Arthur C. Clarke and all the Dune books,
Frank Herbert,
absolutely. And I sort of stopped, and I don't know why. And one of the nice things about the festival and the job is that I've been forced to to get back into fantasy and science fiction. So it is good, and I think encouraging people to go and throw themselves into something and be brave, do it.
I think that shows her strength as a writer as well, the fact that she's writing in a genre that not many people are, you know, quote-unquote huge fans of, or sometimes we all know science fiction and horror, people sort of sometimes look down at them and there's a snobbery. But the fact that she can kind of break those preconceived notions of what these genres are and add maybe a human element or a plot line or a theme that is universal, I think it just shows the fact that, like you said, she's very versatile as a writer.
I've got a question for all of you. Now, Nnedi is part of a lineup that includes Zayd Adhem, Yasser Alireza and Gabriel Rodriguez on one panel. And it's a panel called A Hero's World, and it's happening on Saturday, the 3rd of March at the festival at 12 p.m. if you're interested in going. So emiratesliftfest.com if you want more information about that. But basically, just to give you an idea, the main question is a hero, how does a hero interact with the world around him? How much is Batman Gotham? How much is Gotham Batman? You know, so that sort of thing. How much is Black Panther Wakanda, I think, is the place where Black Panther is from. Okay. See, I clearly know so much about the comics.
Annabelle, I'm impressed. That's,
I did that without reading anything as well.
She's got it on her hand.
I don't have it on my hand.
I mean, I think it's extremely important. I mean, I was saying earlier about the worlds that are created, like especially with Lock and Key, and it's, I don't think there can be one without the other, you know. Batman, if you threw him, you know, into Manhattan, I don't think it would work, you know, because Gotham is a living, breathing creature as much as Batman is or any of his supporting cast. You know, and I do believe, and the same thing with Wakanda. I mean, not a lot of people know about it, but I'm sure they will when the movie comes out. That is very much, you know, he is the Black Panther. He is a king. And, you know, what is Wakanda and the sort of the political part of it is what molds him as a character as well. So from my side, I think they are literally one and the same. You can't have one without the other.
And I think as well, all of these heroes, no matter what superhero you're looking at, you know, contemporary ones or ones that we've known for years, they become heroes because of the circumstances of their environment or the circumstances of their families. You know, Spider-Man, he lost his uncle. Batman lost his parents, which made him want to, you know, change the world. I think with the exception of Superman, who kind of had a pretty idealistic childhood.
Well, his planet did blow up.
Yes, but he didn't know. But what I mean is, he didn't know.
On Earth, yes.
He didn't know his planet blew up until he was 19, I think it was. Yeah. But before that, he was just like an ordinary kid with these powers that he didn't know how to control. So with, I think a lot of these, even if we look at someone like Harry Potter, we were talking about J.K. Rowling before, you know, the circumstances of where they live or their family push them to better themselves and want to better the world around them. So without their environments, they wouldn't be heroes.
Well, it's the hero's journey, right? I think the world is such a big part of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, I want to talk briefly about Whale. So that's I've actually got the comic in front of me at the moment. That's the one written by Zayd Adham and illustrated by Yasser Ali-Rosa.
For listeners, can you just explain the spelling of whale, because there might be some confusion.
Oh, W-A-Y-L, and apparently it means woe in Arabic.
Yeah, whale, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, it's the story of a man who returns to his home city of Amman, Jordan, only to find it in the grip of crime and corruption. He wouldn't be who he is in this comic if it weren't for crime and corruption and the city of Amman. Like, it's very much about a sense of place. I mean, on the front cover, you've got treasury at Petra on the front behind the superhero. So,
and I think with a lot of comics and graphic novels, a city is so important, especially with superhero comics, that, you know, buildings and an urban setting, a contemporary setting, the cars, the small characters who make up this world are really important. And you'll find, I think, a lot of comic book and graphic novel writers are very influenced by contemporary and urban settings and living, and it sort of makes its way into their world, because a city is filled with so many different people from different sects and different classes, and that's what makes up a realistic fictional world.
But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, crime novels, which was the focus of the conversation a little while ago, and again the sense of place,
the place
is a character. You know, whether you've got as we said, Edinburgh, Brighton, all those places, that they are as central to the plot as the actual people in it.
I mean, it's so interesting. Sorry, I might digress, but, you know, with the crime side and the crime novels and the noir novels, both sort of the comic book, mainstream comic book guys like DC and Marvel have done noir versions of their characters and stories, and they've been absolutely wonderful. But they, you know, the ethos of the character is the same, but it changes with the world around them. So it's really quite wonderful to see these characters that you know and love so well in different environments.
We're going to actually have to leave it there. Very briefly, in one word, I'm going to go round the table and tell me what superpower you wish you had.
Teleportation.
Flying, for sure.
Being in two places at the same time.
Me, endlessly hot cup of tea. I know it's really boring, but
it's quite boring, Annabelle.
Yeah, whatever.
You're not a peacock anymore.
We've had another text message come in. Apparently, I would be a fruit bat. I'm happier with a fruit bat than a peacock.
So. Can I just say, Annabelle, is the sender of that text in any way related to you? Or is it just a coincidence that you share a surname?
I think that we've run out of time and need to move on. Thanks so much, Arafat Aman, for coming in to the show.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.